That's just sorry you got caught. There is a true repentance that brings us back into that perspective of restoration and gives us that divine favor that was lost temporarily. And the Lord does have a spirit to seek us. I want to show you this in old brother David, Psalm 119. I love this. That chapter is the longest chapter in the Bible. It ends up wonderfully. The last two verses, Psalm 119, verse 175 and 176. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. You know, real sheep, even though they've gone astray, don't forget God's word. That's the only thing that holds you on, holds you in that mercy, like Romans 5 and 20, where sin abounded, the grace of God did much more abound. Amen. Where sin abounded, like the prodigal, the Holy Ghost dealt with him, convicted him, caused him to wise up and come to himself. He was mesmerized by the stinking spirit of lust that he got a hold of him to leave home, leave his daddy and mother, leave his family, leave the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of Jesus Christ and everything and take off. Yes, he was foolish. But it was that word that had been placed in his heart that caused him to come to himself. When that word and spirit, see, Jesus said, my word is spirit, my word is life. Amen. That word of God is life. If it's in your mind and heart, it can convict you and it will convict you when you get away from God like the prodigal son. Sometimes we don't want to admit it, like the rich young ruler, that the Lord is really dealing with us. There's a story here about this young man, the rich young ruler. I want to show it to you here from the 19th chapter. Or the 18th chapter of St. Luke. Luke, the 18th chapter. Verse 18. Luke 18, verse 18. A certain ruler. Mark's account calls him young. A certain young ruler. Praise God. He was a young man. He asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one. That's God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know, they tell you today you know how to keep the commandments of God. Isn't that crazy? These Calvinists. Oh, you know how to keep the commandments of God. You're in grace. Romans 6 and 1, the great apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. 1 John 3 and 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, the Ten Commandments. For sin is the transgression of the law. It's what the Lord is teaching this young man. And these Calvinists deny it. And I'm their enemy. Boy, you hear me on the radio, what I've been preaching the last 2 weeks. You'll find out I don't give them no quarter and I don't want none from them. I tell them I don't want to be your friend. Don't be bothering me. Go and tend to your business. I'm going to preach against you as long as I sit until you cut my head off right over the air. As long as there's breath in my body. Stinking mess. You got to sin every day and you can sin and go to heaven. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. It will bar you at the door or stop you at the door. Bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. Woo! Oh, Lord, have mercy sakes, what preaching you hear in this stinking, rotten age we're living in. Jesus said to him he wanted to know about eternal life. He quoted the commandments of God, not Moses. God's commandments. There's a lot of difference between God's commandments and Moses' commandments. There's two sets of laws in the Old Testament. He said, verse 21, all these I've kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said, yet you lack one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now there he was, almost saved. I mean, right looking. That life, eternal life of God, looking him right in the face. The Bible said in him was life, and his life was the light of men. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There he was, right? With a confrontation with eternal life itself. 1 John 5:10, whosoever hath the Son hath life. Whosoever hath not the Son hath not life. There's no life abiding in him. Here he was looking eternal life right in the face. And the Lord said to him, you lack one thing, sell what you have, lay up treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And he was very sorrowful. And Jesus saw that he was sorrowful. He said to his 12, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? When you put your money between you and God, that's an idol. It'll keep you out of heaven. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Rich man. Have you got to have 100,000, 500,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000, 100,000,000 to be rich? Now that's a problem. Well, who knows what it is to be rich? If you've got money between you and God, that's your riches, that's your treasure, and that's where your heart is, and God says you won't make it. Verse 28, Peter said, we've left all and followed thee. We gave up everything. That's what it takes to follow Christ, is everything. This young man wasn't willing to give up everything, and therefore, he was rejected. All right? In the same chapter, Luke 18:35. It came to pass as he was come nigh to Jericho. This is on the same trip. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And isn't it amazing how God has to let infirmities of an automobile wreck, some other kind of an accident, a disease, poverty, some loss, some heartache to come to a person before they can really submit to God? That's something for God to break somebody before they're serving. This blind man heard the multitude, and he said, what does it mean? And they told him Jesus was coming. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Praise God. Those are the kind of cries that get you results. And they that went before rebuked him, said, hold your peace. He don't want to fool with blind people. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Praise God. Woo! Jesus quit. He stood. In other words, he stopped. He was going down swiftly through Jericho. And he commanded him to be brought to him. And he came near and he said, what wilt that I shall do unto thee? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. You notice Jesus didn't just heal him. He saved him first. Verse 42. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Hey man, you're saved. That faith got you saved, not just healed. Well, his eyes got open too. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Isn't that wonderful? Then he went on and passed through Jericho. The next chapter, notice this. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, when you're lost, you're going to hell. You got sin in your life, you're going to hell. These folks here found forgiveness through their true repentance.